Up next on Leading the Way.
There is actually the right way to brag. And it's okay to do that. There's a healthy way to be braggadocious. No, it is not about your accomplishment. It's not about your achievement. It's not about what you have done or have not done. It is not about going through certain rites and certain rituals. You can brag about God's power, and you can brag about what God has done for you.
Leading the Way right now.
Here is what the Oxford Dictionary said about pride. It's an overwhelming opinion of one's own quality or merits. And my beloved friends, pride is something we all have to deal with all the time. Pride causes self-centeredness. It produces a demanding spirit. It gives us an air of superiority. Sarcasm, a critical attitude of others, self-importance, and unteachable spirit. And one of the ways to recognize pride, if you are constantly in a state of self-pity. Now, I'm not saying occasional discouragements. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about constantly, woe me, poor me. And constantly in a state of self-pity. Pride is a disease that everyone around is aware of except the person who has it. In the last message from Romans 2 and 3, we saw the Apostle Paul telling the self-righteous, the religionists of his day, that relying on their physical descendants from Abraham, relying on the mere knowledge of the law, and relying on anyone or anything for salvation other than the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ on the cross will only lead to a false sense of security. Now, here today in chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, all the way to 425, he continues this disabusing them of their false sense of security. He continues in that theme. But Paul said there's actually... And here it comes. There is actually good kind of pride. Did you hear me right? There is good pride. There is actually the right way to brag. And it's okay to do that. There's a healthy way to be braggadocious. No, it is not about your accomplishment. It's not about your achievement. It's not about what you have done or have not done. It is not about going through certain rites and certain rituals. No, and certainly it is not about who your ancestors are. And here the Apostle Paul gives us four ways to rightly brag, four ways to rightly be proud of. Four ways about our salvation for which we can express absolute pride. In verses 21 to 31 of chapter 3, he said, you can brag about God who gave you salvation as a free gift. In verses 1 to 8 of chapter 4, he said, you can brag about God's faith, not yours. And thirdly, in verses 9 to 17 of chapter 4, he said, you can brag about God's grace, not your works. And finally, verses 18 to 25 of chapter 4, he said, you can brag about God's power, and you can brag about what God has done for you. Look at with me, please, verses 21 all the way to 31 of chapter 3. For all, can you say all? Have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious ideal. For all have sinned. And because it is God who gives us the gift of salvation, because it is God who reaches down and lifts us up, you cannot brag about how high you can jump. In Romans 3:24, he tells us, that God's gift of salvation is totally undeserved. It is totally undeserved. You did not do anything to deserve it. I have cannot do anything in 10 lifetimes to earn it. And that is why I cannot brag about it. How can you brag about something that is given to you? You had nothing to do with it. How can you brag about it? How can you brag about something that was handed to you? All you did is stretched your hand and took and said, oh, I have deep pride in the fact that I put my hands out. Isn't that wonderful the way I put my hand out there? And isn't that wonderful that I took that gift? No. When it comes to our salvation from sin and judgment, boasting is unthinkable. Why? Because God did it all. Say it with me. Because on the cross, the king pardoned my crime. On the cross, the king adopted me, who was a spiritually homeless. On the cross, the king gave us his name. On the cross, the king gave us his power. On the cross, the king gave us his wealth. On the cross, the king not only paid my debt, but he gave me untold and unlimited line of credit. People ask this question for many, many years. The question is, how do I know that I'm saved? I want to give you a do-it-yourself test. You should be asking yourself if you're not sure about your salvation. Do I love Jesus with all my heart? Do I hate sin? And I'm revolted by it. And I'm talking about sin in my life, not in somebody else's. And I cannot rest until I confess it and repent of it. Do I take credit for my salvation or boast only in the cross of Christ? Do I have a genuine longing to spend time with the Father? Do I love serving Him by serving His people and His church? Am I growing in my intimacy with Jesus? Do I love to obey the Word of God? The right pride is bragging about Jesus. I was thinking about this all week. I said, Lord, whatever years you've got left for me on this earth, I want to spend them bragging about Jesus. I want to spend them bragging about Jesus more than ever before in my life. Secondly, the right way to brag is about his faith, not yours. There are some people within the evangelical tradition, some evangelical churches, when you hear them talk about faith, you're left with the impression that they're making faith look like works. It's something you did. When you listen carefully to them, it sounds like works. Faith, beloved, is not something you whip up. I've got to have faith, I've got to have faith, I've got to have faith. When you see that. No, because faith is a gift from God. When you ask for it, He'll give it to you. In fact, the entire fourth chapter of Romans, Paul uses Abraham as an illustration of salvation by faith alone, not works. To be sure, in verses 6, 7, and 8 of Romans 4, he throws in David here for good measure as a person who really said, bless the man whose sins are forgiven and not counted against him. But it is Abraham that Paul is focusing on like a laser beam. Why? Because in the Jewish literature, in the time of Paul, it was filled with how righteous and how wonderful and how good and how faith-filled Abraham was. Most of this literature defined Abraham's faithfulness as a form of good works, that God looked down and he saw Abraham, how wonderful he is, and then he chose him. And Paul wants to disabuse them of this. Most of this literature gives all of the credit to Abraham, not to God. And that is why Paul is focusing really hard on Abraham. What does it mean? The Jews in the first century believed that Abraham was justified because he was good. Are you with me? You got to understand why he's focusing on this thing and hammering away at it again and again and again. He immediately faces this heretical, this erroneous thinking, erroneous teaching right head on, especially since it wasn't Abraham's perfection that was credited to him. In fact, his faith was about as far from perfect as you get. In Genesis 15:6, it tells us, Abraham believed God and was credited to him. It was reckoned to him. It's not something that he earned, but it's something given to him as a gift, a credit, as righteousness. He was justified by faith before he did any work, good or bad. And so it is with you. And so it is with me. All that Abraham did, he trusted God. All Abraham did, he took God at his word. And don't ever forget that Abraham bungled and fumbled and stumbled. Don't ever forget that he lied and he schemed and he tried to help God out and made a mess of things. Don't forget that. Because God gets all the credit, not Abraham. But God kept on allowing his grace to cover the shortfalls. God kept allowing his grace to cover the shortfalls. You have some evangelicals today, as the Jews in the first century, they're doing the same thing about faith. My faith did this. My faith accomplished that. My faith healed. My faith did. My faith protected me from. If it's all your faith, who needs the Lord, right? Who needs him? If your faith did it, are you with me? Beloved, that is the wrong application of what faith is all about. Abraham had nothing to brag about, for he was saved by grace alone through trusting of God, which was gifted to him from God. Verses 6 and 8, as I said, Paul said David too were justified before God by God's faith. You can brag about what God has done. You can brag about God's faith. Verses 9 to 17 of chapter 4, you can brag about God's grace. You see, during Old Testament times, many rabbis would take something that is meant to be symbolic, that God intended for it to be a symbol, a reminder, a sign. In fact, that's what the word sacrament is. The word sacrament means a sign. There's nothing sacred about a sign. It's just sign says, go this way. And so many things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God intended for it to be only symbolic. But they twisted it and they made it to be necessary for salvation, just like the medieval church. The medieval church was trying to concentrate the power in the hand of the church and in the hand of the priests. So what did they come up with? They said the priest has the power to actually take this symbolic wine and the symbolic bread, and he actually can turn it into the real flesh and blood of Jesus. They took something that is symbolic and they turned it into something necessary for salvation. And they say he can't be saved without going to Mass. What did they mean by this? Why did they load people with the list of do's and don'ts and this and that and the other thing? There were 600 plus items that they had to deal with. And that's why Jesus became angry with them for twisting the Word of God. Things were meant and intended by God to be symbolic, to be a reminder, to be a sign. They turned it into something that is absolutely a burden and necessary for salvation. Look at Romans 4, verses 9 to 17. Paul said, Abraham was truly justified in the sight of God years before the symbol of circumcision. Years. He was justified before circumcision. And that's why he draws this parallel. He said, you know, all the real descendants of Abraham who are saved by faith like Abraham, not just the physical descendants of Abraham. Circumcision was only meant as an outward symbol. It's a reminder of God's calling for his people. It's a reminder for their privilege of being given the opportunity to know the one true God, the God of heaven and earth. Not only that Abraham was justified before circumcision, but he was justified 600 years before the law was given by Moses. 600 years. He was not justified by the law. He was justified by grace. My beloved friends, the power of salvation is in God's grace alone, not in man's reaching out and receiving that grace. But many people would love to give the credit to themselves. They really do. And the whole denomination teaches, you're the one who did it. No. All I did is I stretched my hand and received the gift. But there's more. Abraham's faith in itself did not make him right with God. It was reckoned to him. It was credited to him. It was deposited in his account. What does that mean? That Abraham did not earn his salvation. It is God who credited to him. If you work on a job, and that's the argument Paul makes, and you get a check every month or every week or whatever the system you have, that's you earned that. You worked for that. That's your wages. But when it is given to you completely free, then it is just credited to you without you having to do anything about it. I've heard it from evangelical preachers. God did his part, and I did my part. Really? You mean you equating what you did with what God did? Beloved, that is an error, and that is what's keeping the church from being absolutely revived. I'm going to come to say more about this in a minute. Because Abraham valued that unspeakable gift, because he valued this incredible grace of God, this unearned merits and favor of God, because he valued it so much that when God said to him, offer Isaac, the son of promise, he went ahead and ready to do it. He was willing to do it. See, God did not let him go through with it, but he was willing to do it. That's all God was looking for, is willingness. He was willing to offer Isaac. I'm sure Abraham said, wow, this is incredible. I'm going to watch the first resurrection in history. The God is going to raise Isaac from the dead. He's going to have a resurrection. I don't know what or who your Isaac may be. You do. I do. Question is this. Can you truly trust God, who gave you the greatest gift of all? That's a gift that cannot even be compared with anything in this whole world. Can you trust the God who gave you the gift of salvation so that you are willing to offer whatever your Isaac may be on the altar? You notice I said willing? God doesn't want it. God gave it to you. God gave you everything. Are you willing to place whatever it is that you're holding on to, that you're cherishing so much, on the altar? I keep saying willing. My ardent prayer that we in this place begin to truly value that gift of salvation, that unearned credit, that undeserved grace, more than we value our Isaacs, as we study through the book of Romans, that we begin to move and trust God to move in our midst so that he may get all of the glory, not part of it. This is the only way, I believe with all my heart, that we're going to experience the untold blessings, brag about what God has done, brag about God's faith, brag about God's grace. Fourthly, you can brag about God's power, not yours. Look at verses 18 to 25. I already told you that it wasn't his weak faith that saved Abraham. No, 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 no. It's God's faith that he gave to Abraham, which sustained him. See, Abraham knew that it's not by power nor by might, but by spirit, says the Lord. He was hitting 100 and Sarah was hitting 90. They were ready for a nursing home, not a nursery. But he kept on trusting. He kept on trusting. And remember this, he did not have a Bible. He did not have a Bible study group to go to. He did not have a home group to go to. He did not have a Bible preacher and a Bible teacher. He had none of that. But Abraham knew enough about God that he gave him that gift of salvation. He gave him that gift of faith that he would keep his word. He'll keep his word. As if to say, I can trust him. I can trust in his power. I have seen his power. He brought me out of Haran. He took me into Bethel. He saved me in Egypt. He strengthened me to take on 4 kings with their armies. He will not let me down. He will work his purposes out. He will not slumber nor sleep. He will never forsake me nor forget me. He is the God of all the earth. He is the God of justice. And he will vindicate me and vindicate his truth in me. No wonder Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. What God did, he privileged Abraham, just as he did with John the Revelator later on. He privileged Abraham to peer into the annals of history down the future. 2,000 years from that time, he allowed him to see the future and to see the Messiah coming, fulfilling the promises of God. And he rejoiced in seeing that day, and by faith he looked forward to it. Listen to me, I'm getting ready to close. The God who has freely given you the gift of salvation, the God who has freely given you the gift of faith, he wants you to trust him fully with all of the Isaacs that he has placed in your hands. Can you truly say, I fully trust him?
Connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram to receive daily updates from Dr. Youssef and reports from the team on the ground, leading the way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Together, we are sharing the gospel around the world through every available means. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, leading the way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Thank you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.
At the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, every Sunday I meet people from all over the United States, from Maine to California, and they love the experience. They said for years we've been wanting to come and visit. And so if you're ever in Atlanta, Georgia, I would love for you to come and visit. Shake my hand, and I want to thank you in advance for making that to be a priority in your life, visiting apostles. God bless.